Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Kingdom Love Show, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host tonight, Dr. Afrida Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want to welcome each and every one of you on the line on tonight. We have two very special guests that I will introduce in just a moment. But first of all, we want to read Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of God, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing each and every person who's on this ministry and those who will come on this ministry. We ask would something be said that will edify and magnify who you are. We thank you for the opportunity to connect with others and for them to share their gifts that you have given unto them. And we just thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. And so on today, we're going to have two very special guests. Our first guest is Mr. J. Robb, and he has published 7 novels. He's also had the opportunity to research different aspects of malpractice within dogs. And so this will be a very interesting interview, because he's going to also introduce us to the founder of this nonprofit organization. And so without spoiling things and telling you every aspect of the interview, I'm going to call Mr. Robb, and once I call him, I will allow him to reintroduce himself formally and to also introduce the founder of this nonprofit organization, who really works well in helping animals and researching and things of that nature. So give me just a second.
Hello? Hello? Hello.
Hello. Hello. Scott, can you hear me? Okay.
Okay, so who do I have on the phone right now?
This is Jerry.
Okay, I have Jerry and Mr. Scott. Are you on the phone?
Scott, can you hear me? Okay.
Mr. Scott?
This is Jerry. Well, I hear you I hear you recording of me, but this is me on the phone. This is Jerry, J.L. Roth. This is the author. Maybe there's a delay or something.
Let me try to call him again on this one. Okay, so you came in through the radio, so I should be able to call him. I think this will do it.
Okay.
Hello.
All right, roll call. I have Mr. Scott, right?
Yes.
And I have Mr. Jerry, right?
Yes, you do.
Yay! Okay, great.
Yes.
So, thank you all for your patience. So what I'm going to do,
sure.
I'm going to ask each of the gentlemen once again, just because we had some technological issues, to tell us a little bit about what they do, and then we will get into the other parts of the interview. So, Mr. Jerry, you can go first.
Okay, my name is J.L. Robb, Jerry, and I live in Duluth, Georgia, just north of Atlanta. I'm an author of 8 books. And I met Scott Fine, the founder of Joey's Legacy, not quite a year ago. And he asked me to see if I would be interested in writing a book about their organization. I did not know that veterinary malpractice was a big problem in the country, but I've learned a lot in the last year. And sometimes I feel like as a writer that God just drops stories right into my lap, and that happened in July of last year, and now I'm working on volume 2 because there are so many stories about this. Thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Scott?
Hi, I'm Scott Fine. I live in Lexington, South Carolina. Founded Joey's Legacy in October of 2017, a few months after we lost our dachshund, Joey, as a result of veterinary malpractice. We found out soon that we weren't the only people that lost their pet in this way. We started out with about 20 or 30 other families that found us, found our website, found our Facebook page, and joined us. And we are over 2,300 members now. Not all of them have lost pets this way. Actually, the majority of them found us through word of mouth, friends of family that lost a pet due to malpractice, and been able to join us and learn quite a bit. We provide a lot of education and enlightenment for them so they can better advocate for their pets. And we identified 2 major problems in the industry, and Jerry has helped us to expose those problems to the public to make them more aware of what's really going on. Thank you.
All right. So these gentlemen are working closely with families in order to assist and get the word out and educate individuals about malpractice with veterinarians and things like that. So, Jerry, I want you to kind of describe what veterinary malpractice is and veterinary medicine, and then I would like for Scott to tell us, I know you said you lost your pet, and that's when you really started to figure out that there was malpractice. Tell us a little bit about how you began creating your nonprofit. So, Jerry, if you could give us those definitions of veterinary malpractice and negligence, veterinary medicine. And, Mr. Scott, if you could tell us how you began forming your organization.
Thank you. I'm glad you asked those questions because I heard an animal rights attorney answer them the same question just last week, and I'll try to use his example. If you take your cat to the veterinarian and you go into the examination room and the window's open and the cat jumps out, runs out into the street and gets hit by a car, that's negligence. Because it was nothing, it was irresponsibility, if I understood him right. Malpractice is when, say, you're doing an abdominal surgery on a dog and you accidentally drop the scalpel into the body cavity and sever an intestine or something like that and they bleed to death. That's malpractice. So that's the main difference between the two. Isn't that right, Scott?
Yes, Jerry, that's correct.
Yeah,
Involves treatment, and the other doesn't. Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Scott, now, with all of these happenings and what happened to your pet, tell us how you began to get the word out and come up with this great idea to form this nonprofit.
We found out quickly that there weren't very many resources for us to try to seek justice or to right the wrong. So we did a lot of investigation, and we spoke to a lot of people that have in the industry, people that have lost their pets this way. They found us on the Internet through our Facebook page, through word of mouth, and we realized that in order to successfully pursue a negligent veterinarian, there had to be independent veterinarians that would review the records of the case and be willing to render an opinion that, in fact, malpractice occurred. And those veterinarians that were willing to join our team joined up with us. They started reviewing records. They wrote opinion letters where they found malpractice, and the family would take the opinion letter to one of our attorneys in the state where the malpractice occurred. The attorney would review the letter and determine whether or not they wanted to go forward with a lawsuit or a demand letter or what have you, depending on the circumstance. And it's almost 4 years now that we've been in existence. We've assisted over 400 victims of veterinary malpractice, and we've fortunately been able to successfully either win lawsuits or get settlements for our members. And it's a very simple process, the vet first. And like I said, if there is malpractice, the letter goes to the attorney, and then they decide what to do.
Wow, that's great. So as you were establishing your particular organization, you met Mr. Rob and asked him, or you maybe already knew him, and you asked him to write a book. What was your goal, and what did you want to see in that book according to your foundation, and who did you want your audience to be?
As our group began to grow in the first couple of years, we always were determined to find an outlet to spread our message, to tell our message. And we were unsuccessful in the first few years to find someone that had the capability of, disseminating our message to the world, essentially, because this is not an American problem. This is a worldwide problem. And so one day, a mutual friend of ours in Florida had breakfast with me, and he brought me Jerry's first book, and he said, "Read this, and I want you to see what you think." Well, anyway, I started reading the book, and I am typically not a reader, but it was fascinating, and I read the book cover to cover, and I said to my friend, I said, "I'd like to talk to this guy because I wonder if he'd write a book about Joey's legacy." So I made contact with Jerry through some emails. We had a conversation, and next thing you know, he made a decision to begin volume one, which was, I believe, last summer, July, perhaps August. And Volume 1 was just released, I believe, in February. And from what I understand, it's doing quite well on the bookshelves.
Wow. So congratulations. And so, Mr. Robb, your recent book, your eighth book, I understand, is Joy's Legacy, Seeking Truth and Integrity in Veterinary Medicine. And like Mr. Scott said, it was released in February. So what inspired you to write about Joy's legacy, and what is Joy's legacy? I know that Mr. Scott has given us a plethora of information, but tell us, when Mr. Scott came to you and asked you, you know, to begin writing, tell us a little bit about your book and what's in it and what you hope that readers learn from it.
Well, what I thought, I was in the middle of another book, actually, and but I talked to Scott several times, emails and conversations, and decided I would put that book on hold. But I've had six Great Danes. I'm almost six Great Danes. In the 70s, I had a skunk. I've always loved animals, and it's just what I have found out is it doesn't really matter what your race or creed is, whether you're Republican or Democrat or atheist or non-believer. One thing that we all have a common bond is we all love animals. Everybody seems to love animals. 77% of Americans have pets. So since I had never heard of this malfunction of veterinarian malpractice and the cover-up that comes with it, which is the really bad part, I figured it would be a short book, 150 pages. My novels are about 300 to 350 pages because I didn't think I would get more than about 15 stories because surely it couldn't be that common, not backed up with facts and documents. And before long, I had 63 stories and about 600 pages. So that's when we decided to do Volume 1 and Volume 2. Other than my part and Scott's part that's in there, it consists of 41 chapters. It has 46 chapters. 41 chapters are actual individual stories, documented stories that people sent. It's in their own words. We did no editing, no proofing. You can see the emotion just in the punctuation. And every chapter is a story. Some of those chapters are one pages long, and some of them are 30 pages long. But it's just the most amazing thing that I've seen in a long time. So in the past year, I've kind of taken it up as a passion. And we're working on not only the book in Volume 2, we're also working on getting a one-hour documentary done that would be shown on Animal Planet, History Channel, things like that.
Oh, wow. So I want you, both of you gentlemen, to ask this. So who approached you guys about this documentary? The writing must have been written very well. So tell me about that process when they said, hey, Jerry, or hey, Scott, and I'm just making this up, you know, we want to write a documentary on what you're doing because we really believe in what you're doing, and this is unique.
Let me answer that. The mutual friend that got Scott and I together, that gave Scott my book, a year before that, the same friend had introduced me to a guy named John Biffar, B-I-F-F-A-R. I would encourage all your listeners to look him up on YouTube. It's John Biffar.
Okay.
He was a documentarian, and I was trying to get a movie made about my first seven books, a series. So, so our friend Steven introduced me to him. I talked to him. He got me up with a Netflix producer, and then the virus hit, and everything stopped. When this story was finished, and I was so amazed at what happened, I sent him an email just to see if he remembered me. And I said, I think I've got a story that would be a good documentary because people do not know this. It's about veterinary malpractice. And he wrote back, said he'd love to talk to me. He would call me in a week because he was doing a documentary right now on malpractice, hospital malpractice.
Mm-hmm.
So a week later he called and said he was interested, and he proposed a plan for a one-hour professionally filmed documentary, and he's going to interview some of the storytellers, and he's going to find out what's going on with the vet boards, which block so many of these suits. It's like a police union. They just protect each other, and a vet board would rather have a bad veterinarian than to lose one. So he's going to expose that, and we asked him for a budget. We had already checked, but I had already checked budgets and saw that a one-hour professional documentary was about $500,000, which we were wondering how I would ever raise that. But when I asked him for a price, he said to do it right, which is the only way that he would do it, would be about $100,000. So for some reason, what would have been a big number to me seemed like a little number. In the past 3 weeks of trying to raise funds, we've raised about $22,000 in promises and actual donations. So we've been promoting as much as we can to try to get people. The donations are tax deductible because it is a nonprofit. And if for some reason we do not get to the point, but we are, but if we didn't, we're keeping it in a separate fund that will be refunded to all the people that do donate. We have one lady in California, the first day donated $10,000. Most of our donations are anywhere from $25 to $2,000. Mm-hmm. So once we get to about $35,000, John said he would start interviewing people, taking his film crew, or if they would come to him in Fort Myers, Florida. He's done some unbelievable films. He's won 9 Emmys, which got my attention. He's world-renowned. He does stuff for History Channel and BBC and PBS. So that's why I would encourage your listeners to go check him out. He does some really neat stuff. But we're excited about that. We're going to raise some money, and hopefully some of your listeners will help us out.
Okay. And let me ask you this. So with this documentary, of course, now when you highlight this documentary, are you going to just be speaking to families, or are you going to actually go into the veterinarian clinics and demonstrate how it's malpractice, or how does it work?
Well, I don't know how he does what he does. I've had a lot of suggestions from Joy's members, get him to do this, get him to do that. I've told all of them that I wasn't getting him to do anything. It was his vision, and mm-hmm. I had a lot of confidence in somebody with 9 Emmys. But what he told me the other day is the first part would be interviews with actual people. The second part would be the abuse of the state veteran boards. And the third part would be what he called a 60 minutes type approach, where they actually wait out some of the veterinarian clinic and wait for the guy that was found guilty but still practicing mm-hmm. and stick a microphone in his face and say, what do you have to say? And then when he says no comment, that's going to make a lot of people happy that have been through this to see that. And he told me that people love that. They love to see people get caught that do this kind of stuff. And we're really looking forward to it.
Wow. Okay. Great. So Libby asked Mr. Rob and Mr. Scott, so how many stories are you gentlemen receiving from victims, and are they edited stories?
I got 41 stories in the first book. And I haven't counted all the ones. I keep letting people send them in. I got a couple of stories this last week, but I think I'm up to about 35 in book two. And there's probably most likely going to be a volume 3 at the rate they come in. I've got a lot of people. I just can't take everybody's story. Matter of fact, in volume 2, I started making sure there's a maximum number of pages and a maximum number of words. Each person puts in 2 pictures, their favorite pictures of their pet. And these aren't all dogs and cats. I've got one lady has a hedgehog. Didn't even know what a hedgehog was, but it's really cute. We have people that have horses. It's an amazing thing, and we just don't ever hear about it. I mean, I don't know how many times you might have heard about it. I've never seen a news program on this. There is a collar that's made by a large aspirin manufacturer called Sorrento that is documented that collar has killed 1,700 dogs, but it's still in every grocery store and pet supply store. And those things don't need to be happening.
Right.
And
so
if it wasn't a huge, I'm sorry, if it wasn't a huge company, it wouldn't be. Yeah, if it wasn't a huge company, it would not be happening.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I have 2 questions here. So the first question I'm going to ask Mr. Rob again. So you've spoken to us about the contents in your book. What do you want audience to get out of that book? And then I want Mr. Scott to speak about how he formed his group. When I say group, I'm speaking of the nonprofit. How did you really promote that these individuals need to invest in your project. So, Mr. Rob, if you could answer that question first, what do you want people to get out of your book? What's the purpose of this?
I mean, the purpose of the book, in my mind, is to educate people. Everybody, like I said a while ago, everybody seems to like pets, especially
right.
dogs and cats. And I want them to realize that, hey, before when you, like a friend of mine just moved here from Charlotte. They got two dogs. Mm-hmm. He asked me over the weekend, who do we take them to? We don't want to just trust any old vet. I said, that's a good move. So I recommended mine. I've been going to them for 35 years and have never had a problem. This is a very minor problem, maybe 1% or 2%. But if you're in that 1% or 2%, it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with the courts is they don't consider your dog or cat to be family. They consider it to be a lawnmower, a personal property. It's not family. It's a lawnmower. Let me ask you something. How many people sleep with a lawnmower?
Right. None.
Right.
Hopefully.
I sleep with my dog, and I never slept with my lawnmower. It's not personal property, especially the service dogs and service animals that help people. But as a result of that, up until people like Scott came along, the veterinarian would just pat you on the back and offer you $100.
We're in it.
And there you go. You
oh,
take it or leave
horrible.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, and then, Mr. Scott, can you tell us a little bit about the purpose of your group? I know that it's individuals who are really into this malpractice experience, but what is the purpose as far as how do you get people to buy in to your project?
Okay, well, people find us because they've had the same experience. They've had what they believe is a malpractice experience with their pet. We are a nonprofit organization, 501c3. We operate on donations only. And really what we're there for is to offer them the opportunity to seek justice. Most people that go through this experience, of course, they are devastated from the loss of their family member. They don't know where to turn, and most of them, or a lot of them anyway, will just throw their hands up and say, I don't know what to do now, and they'll just suffer in silence. Through the internet, through the search engine optimization, through word of mouth, we have built quite a reputation, and we are the only organization that we're aware of that makes a concerted effort to seek justice for these victims. And we actually guide the people through the process. It's a very simple process. And the majority of them are obviously devastated from the loss, and most of us will probably never get over losing our pet this way. But they're grateful that there was a Joey's Legacy there to help them through the entire process.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Dollars and Cents. Now, I understand that there is a one-hour documentary film that's in the works. Now, if you gentlemen could tell us something about this effort, such as who will be the film producer, and how much does it cost for a one-hour documentary, and how do you intend to raise that amount?
Scott, you want to take that, or you want me to do it?
You can take it, Jerry.
Okay. The film producer is a guy named John Biffar, B-I-F-F-A-R. And I mentioned a while ago, everybody might want to go to YouTube and check him out. And it was very fortunate that I found him. And this film, when it does happen, will be taken to the Sundance Film Festival, other film festivals, and sold to people like History Channel, Animal Planet, whoever will buy it. And, of course, a lot, like I said, everybody loves pets, so we believe a lot of people will buy it. They will show it. And this is the only way we can educate. You know, we're not IBM or anybody. We're little. And we're thinking this is one of the best ways we could really get the message out. The book is going to get the message out, certainly better than word of mouth. But a documentary on History Channel or one of those big channels, a lot of people would see it, and a lot of people would become aware. Don't buy the sales pitch on TV about your veterinarian. Check him out. Most of these veterinarians, I've known many, and they love animals. That's why they do it. But since pharma has gotten involved and they become big business instead of mom and pop, a lot of things are changing. And there's nobody that hates a bad apple veterinarian more than the 99% of good veterinarians, because it makes them look bad. So it's a way we hope we'll get this message out, like Scott said, to the world, not just the United States. It goes on everywhere.
Okay. It's great. Now, so if some of the listeners would like to donate toward the documentary's cost, how would they do that? And are the donations tax deductible?
Scott?
Okay, so, so they can go, yes, the donations are tax deductible. They can go to joeyslegacy.org. Mm-hmm. So that's joeyslegacy.org. Click on the donate tab, and they can donate, obviously, whatever amount they would like. Every little bit helps. Don't think that your $10 or $20 doesn't mean anything. It adds up quickly. We're well on our way to our first goal, which will be the goal. Once we achieve that goal, we'll be able to start interviewing our families and start putting the documentary together. You know, let me just make the point, and Jerry just made it a minute ago. I do surveys of 100 new members at a time, and it's very consistent over time that somewhere around 85 out of 100 say they've never had a bad experience with a veterinarian, which just kind of confirms what many of us know, that most veterinarians do a good job with their patients. The hand that don't are, is, you know, the one of the targets of what we're trying to expose here. These are veterinarians that typically may perform a surgery or a procedure. Something goes wrong. The pet doesn't survive. And instead of being truthful and transparent with the pet parent and explaining, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know how to tell you this, but we lost your pet as a result of ABC, they will concoct a story just to try to cover their own negligence, which only makes the situation a lot worse for pet parent, because sooner or later they find out that they were lied to. That's when they come to us, and now it kind of elevates it to a different level beyond malpractice. Now there's potential fraud, misrepresentation, concealment of information. There's different kinds of civil issues that get involved, so it's not just the reimbursement of veterinary costs as a potential remedy for the problem. It could get a lot more complicated. So is the veterinarians that are not honest with their clients, with the pet parents. The other problem we have is boards of veterinary medicine. Every state has one, because veterinarians are regulated by the state. And this group are, many of them are practicing veterinarians during the day. They do their job. They do it well during the day. But when they turn into their alter egos as vet board members, they tend to protect the veterinarians that are called out for negligence and malpractice, and the disciplinary action is very minimal, to say the least. Very, very few veterinarians' licenses are suspended or even revoked, and the boards do not discipline firmly and fairly. If they did, this would not be a problem. So between the dishonest veterinarians that lie to their clients and the vet board, if we could resolve or put a dent in both of those problems, there would be no book for Jerry to write. That's the bottom line. So this is all about what the book's title is, Truth and Integrity in Veterinary Medicine. Very simple. So that's what we hope to expose, make people aware.
That's good. Now let me ask you, gentlemen, this. So is your organization nationwide? Say if someone called you from another state, how would you handle that? Or is it just in your state?
We have attorneys
in all
50 states.
And it's also international. I mean, we're associated with people in England, and if you're in Australia, all you have to do is go to the website, because if it helps here, it'll help everywhere. And all they have to do, it doesn't matter where you are, you can be in Antarctica. If you want to donate $10 or $10,000, we're very happy to have it, and all it takes is going to the website It's not joeyslegacy.com. It's joeyslegacy.org. And we want to make sure that as many people in the next year, year and a half, we figure it'll take that long, to be able to educate people that this is a problem, even though you might it might be 1%. It's like COVID, I guess. Maybe it's less than 1% of the people that get it. But the people that die from it, it's not good for them.
Right. But let me ask you this. Another question that someone asked was, like, are your services nationwide as well? Like,
Yes, there's
absolutely.
Lawyers in several states. Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We have lawyers in all 50 states. So anyone from Alaska to Texas to Minnesota to Vermont, anywhere in the 50 states, we have attorneys that can handle cases. We have 9 veterinarians on our team. They review cases, and as I said earlier, if they determine malpractice occurred, then they write the letter. It goes to the attorney for review and potential legal action. So we can help anybody anywhere.
That's good. Okay. Now, we have about 2 or 3 more questions. So, Mr. Rob, now, you've authored 8 books, and you're working on the 9th. Tell us a little bit about your other books.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit of the story of how I did it. I've never written a book. I've always been in sales and marketing my whole life. And when I was 53, well, when I was 30, I found religion. My mom was so happy that Jerry found Jesus, but I did, and my life changed at that moment. But when I was 53 years old, I'm 74 now, when I would pray sometimes, I would hear a voice in my head. I thought I was going crazy, but it said, write your books, write your books. I kept hearing it for 10 years before I finally thought, well, maybe it's God talking to me since it happens when I pray. And the books that were coming to me was when I was 10, I read the book of Revelation. And though I didn't know what it meant, it scared the you-know-what out of me, and I loved it. I've always loved it. And so I've studied biblical prophecy that has to do with what the Bible says will be the end, at least as we know it. I've always been intrigued with it. There were many, many, many predictions that made about that time. So I wrote a 7-book fictional series called The End, the book. It was The End Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. You can't end the world in one part. This one had 7 parts. And I think God pushed me to do it, and I guess he did good because all my reviews on Amazon are all 4 to 5 stars, and the same thing on Goodreads. So I guess I had a talent that I never started using until I was 63, and that was 11 years ago.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay. So, Mr. Scott, tell us a little bit about your website, if you have a website for your nonprofit, and any other aspect of donations or any other projects you have going on with your organization.
Anyone that wants to look us up on Facebook, our Facebook group is Joey's Legacy, VetMal, VETMAL, as in veterinary malpractice victims, so VetMal victims. As I mentioned, we have over 2,300 members, and we seem to attract about 100 members a month, 100 new members a month. As I mentioned, the website is joeyslegacy.org. You'll see some of the victims of veterinary malpractice. There's the opportunity to donate. We have a grief counselor for those that feel the need to speak with someone to help them through their tragic event. And we also have a Facebook page, which is the exact name of Jerry's book, which is just another, opportunity for people to find us and join up with us. There's no fees to join. You're free to join if you wish. You don't have to be a victim. Like I said earlier, most of the people in our group have never had a bad experience with a vet. They have been fortunate with their vets, but they want to learn the experiences of others so they could better advocate for their own pets in the future. So we're here to help. You can send an email to info@joeyslegacy.org, and we will do our best to help you as best we can.
Okay, that sounds great. And Mr. Rob, what is your book website?
My book website is theendthebook.com. Theendthebook.com. And
great.
if you're interested in the Joey's books, there's a tab at the top that says Joey's, and you just click on that. And then the other books about the biblical part is in there. My blog is in there. We have a great coffee that we sell. We sell to promote, to make money to promote. And it's the best coffee I've ever had. It really is. And I've gotten so many letters from emails from people saying, it's so expensive, I give a lot of it away because I can't sell it. It's a lot more than it is in the grocery store, but it's just so good. And as more and more people are sampling it, I'm getting emails that say, well, how much is it? And some of them, the ones that don't drop the phone, order.
Okay. Wow. That's great. Okay, so we're going to wrap up this interview. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me to interview about malpractice, because it's very important that individuals know there is an outlet to assist. Is there any parting words that either of you would like to say?
Well, I would like to say,
I'm
sorry.
Go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead.
Okay, I will say that I knew nothing about this until July of last year, and I read the news all the time. I'm a news junkie, and just the fact that I haven't ever seen it before means it's a story that is untold, because vet boards have a big lobby, and that was my big surprise.
Okay.
What I'll leave you with is that until I lost Joey in 2017, I had decades of great success with veterinarians and all of my dogs and cats. Never had a problem, never thought about malpractice in the veterinary industry. I will tell you that the veterinary industry has done a great job of keeping this under wraps for a long, long time. They made you believe your animal was only worth $100 if you tried to sue a veterinarian, so don't bother. Joey's legacy has busted those myths. We've exposed everything that they've been trying to keep quiet. And with this documentary, it will be disseminated to the world faster and more effectively. And that's our goal.
Wow, that's good. Well, I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I remember when I was younger, I wanted to be a veterinarian because I love pets. So it's nice to know that there are agencies and organizations out there who are voices for pets who are obviously voiceless, but they have owners. So we really appreciate the work that you're doing, and I will be visiting your website. And thank you so much for taking out the time to interview with me.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you. And Mr. Scott and Mr. Rob, I will send you the link so that you'll have it of the radio show.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Gentlemen,
bye-bye.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so we had the opportunity to interview Mr. Rob and Mr. Scott. And as you know, there are organizations out there who are advocates for pets. And, you know, we really love pets and animals. So I have a few announcements, and then I'm going to bid you a great night. If you're a gospel artist, anyone with a positive message, please be sure to email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. That's emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on this particular ministry, especially if you have a positive project or a positive event that will occur. Speaking of events, on June 19th, from 9 to 12, there is a Youth Leadership Summit. Now, This is in Central Texas, but I am also extending it, and I will make it virtual because I have individuals all over the state who is interested. This particular workshop works on scholarship, education, leadership, community service, and opportunities for youth leadership. And what I mean by that is that we're going to be speaking about those difficult issues. We're going to be having conversations about different occurrences that youth are experiencing. We're going to understand how to handle those experiences while being productive citizens. Socialization is very important when we're speaking to teens, and so we will have various activities and things of that nature in order to promote socialization. Once we finish that, we will have a basketball kind of contest, and you have to socialize. And part of success is socialization. Socialization is about 90% of your success. And socialization could be sign language. It could be communication. It could be writing. But you have to be able to express yourself, and that's what I really want you to understand. Because what happens is these youth, you know, the safety protection is when they're at home and when they're at school. You know, those are their safety havens. But when they get out in the real world and some of the young people get upset, they use objects or they use weapons in order to express their anger. But we want to produce citizens, and I say citizens because these students are growing up. You know, they don't regress to babyhood. They are progressing to adulthood. And as adults, we have to be able to communicate because the lack of communication causes confusion. And that's why we have so much tragedy going on, because no one wants to speak. If you think about wars in the military, wars occur because of certain happenings. No one ever sit down and talk about you know, why, you know, two countries are going to war. It's, this has happened, we're going to war. And so if we could create, and that is my plight, and I'm writing a book about it, if we can create a socialized society that will bring down our crime rates, that will bring success in schools, because when students don't understand, instead of them sitting there pretending like they do, they will express that. You know, I don't understand this concept. You will know how to speak. But individuals like to keep things in, you know, but it's better out than in when we're speaking. And we have to understand the language to use, you know, and how to de-stress, because people get into situations because they're so stressed out. But so please be sure to come to that particular workshop. And as I said before, if you want to be on this international ministry, then you can email me at alfreda@gmail.com. I'm sorry, I was answering a message, @gmail.com. So be sure to contact me, okay? And that is it. And I want to once again thank Mr. Scott, and I want to thank Mr. Rob for taking out the time to interview with us. We will have our other segment dealing with leadership and superintendency on tomorrow. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Till next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Be sure to join me on tomorrow. Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.